This is Eric Barger, and today on Take a Stand Radio, author Stephen Mansfield and I discuss what NBC News called the Oprah Effect, as we examine the influence, the power, and the spirituality of the most famous New Age believer in the world, Oprah Winfrey. What you're about to hear, I hope, will cause every blood-bought saint of God to pray and intercede for Oprah. So if you love Oprah, or have friends or family who do, I suggest you stay tuned. Here we go.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Greetings, everybody. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. This is week number 8 in our series, Dissecting and Exposing the Beliefs, the Origins, the Practices, and of course the Personalities of the Modern New Age Movement. Now, before we get to the discussion with best-selling author Stephen Mansfield on his book, which is titled, Where Has Oprah Taken Us?, I want to remind you that this entire series is now available on audio CD for just $35 plus $5 shipping and handling in support of our ministry here on Take a Stand Radio. Be sure to visit our website. That's ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com, to order your CD album, Journey Through the New Age, or my seminar DVD teaching, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception. Both are easily accessible on our homepage at ericbarger.com or by calling us at 214-289-5244. That's primarily our message phone, but you can reach us there at 214-289-5244 and we'll call you back. Hundreds of pages and articles, newsletters, chapters from my books, our radio archive, podcasts, and video clips are available completely free of charge at ericbarger.com, so you'll want to make sure that you take advantage of all that while you're there. Well, now, quickly, let's go into our discussion with Stephen Mansfield. This is part 3 of the discussion on his book, Where Has Oprah Taken Us? We're going to pick up right where we left off last week, discussing some of the New Agers that Oprah has promoted on her TV show. She's broadcast all kinds of things along the way. The book, The Secret, of course. And she's had Esther Hicks on, who's a trans-channeler who has several out-of-body entities who all call themselves Abraham. She's had Marianne Williamson, who has written the Chronicle called A Return to Love, Reflections of A Course in Miracles, maybe looked at or maybe held by New Agers as the most influential and important book of the time that we live in. In fact, Oprah thought enough about Marianne Williamson that she had Marianne Williamson do a daily devotional on Oprah's XM radio channel. And that was every day during, I think it was 2008 when that took place. I'm doing this all from memory, but I believe it was 2008. And this is a gal who's literally immortalizing Helen Schuckman, who had these spiritual experiences for 7 years back in the 1960s into the 70s and wrote them down. An entity told her that he was Jesus and that what had been written about him in the past was not correct. And she wrote this down. It became The Course in Miracles. So it's a trans-channeled book. She's had on Dr. Brian Weiss, who is an expert in past life regression, claiming that we lived in lives before, which means we'll live in lives again, which go, of course, against what the scripture says in Hebrews 9 that says that man is appointed once to die and then the judgment. She's had Louise Hay on her program when she was still on TV, a practicer of the Church of Religious Science who studied with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I mean, that's the kind of heavy hitter she's had on. She's had Wayne Dyer several times. Dr. Deepak Chopra was a staple. Louise Hay was called the Queen of the New Age by New York Times Magazine. So that's the stuff that's been out there.
Yes, it's a very interesting progression. You know, we need to mention just quickly that Oprah was raised as a Christian. I spent time with her father, Vernon Winfrey. He raised her in the church in Nashville. The church is where Oprah first spoke, first gained any kind of stage presence, had anybody first speak to her about having a destiny or a calling. And then years later, of course, she rejected that upbringing and moved towards the New Age thinking. What I think is really critical for us to understand is that, you know, she really only represents her generation. This is why my third chapter in the book is not so much a biography of Oprah, but it's a tracking of the times. You know, this Eastern mysticism, as you say, this sort of Hindu-oriented theology and mysticism, really came into America initially in the 50s, and then really flooded into America in the 1960s, and you've already said the name, largely because of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was this Indian guru who tried to sanitize Hindu ideas, bring them into our society. The Beatles, of course, made him globally famous. He continued to have tremendous influence through transcendental meditation, which was sort of a sanitized approach to Hinduism that was cleaned up to be palatable in a First Amendment-ruled society. But that's essentially what all of Oprah's advisors have in common. They are essentially Hindus. I mean, they wouldn't claim that. They're not officially that. They don't wear the garb of it. They don't speak in Indian accents. But essentially, they're Hindus. Marianne Williamson, for example, will say, really, there's only one of us here. If you perceive that there's more than one of us here, it's just because that's what you believe. But there's really only one of us here. Well, that's classic Hinduism. Beatles even sang it. I am you, and you are me, and we are all together.
That's what that song was all about, and most people don't realize that.
And, the Beatles were duped, too, and later they admitted as much. George Harrison got caught up in the Eastern mystical ideas, but the other three pretty much rejected it. And so the bottom line is Oprah, what she has essentially done is made the journey with her generation, with her boomer generation. Now, on the one hand, baby boomers, have flooded into churches and surprised everybody by turning to God, turning to religion, fueling the megachurch movement, etc. But many millions of them have gone more towards the direction of what we might call alternative spirituality, and thus the yoga movement and, the rise of Eastern mysticism and all that we have, the popularity of Deepak Chopra on PBS, fundraisers and so on. All of that to say that that's been the course of the boomer generation. And Oprah, kind of like a ship sailing the seas of her times, has accumulated her beliefs like so many barnacles on her hull, simply because she's been sailing through the same waters of her generation.
She has just rallied the others around. She's become the focal point because so many people could watch all at one time these different authors and mystics and so on to give out their spiritual viewpoints. And listen, I want to read a quote. As I was perusing through the book, and I've not had time to read the whole book yet, I just came home from a long ministry trip, and the book was here waiting for me, and I knew that we were going to do this interview, but I picked up a few different things as I was looking through it, and I thought one of the most important things that we can point out about Oprah appears on page 174 into page 175. The fact that the word spirituality really wasn't around a whole lot before the last decade, maybe 15, maybe 20 years. That was used in some circles. But Oprah came along and she picked up the idea that people need inner peace and they're looking for love and they want unity on the earth. Of course, environmentalism has become huge today. That they want ecstasy. They're looking for spiritual leaders, spiritual masters. They want a sense of God's energy and presence. They want to experience healing for their mind and their body. They're looking to communicate with somebody who has died. Of course, that's called necromancy when you look at it and understand it biblically. And they're also looking to have near-death experiences or the idea of understanding what happens in the afterlife. And, of course, a lot of people out there like that. And I want to read what you wrote about those kind of issues about Oprah on page 175, Stephen. You said, "These were terms Oprah Winfrey's audience knew well. It was all so appealing. It fit the American need for freedom and from restraint. It answered the baby boomer need to innovate, to modify and blend opposing streams of thought. It answered the emotional needs of an increasingly secular generation." Then you said, "Tragically, Winfrey's distinction between religion and spirituality was artificial. She has made a distinction without a genuine difference in order to draw her followers into a novel brand of faith. The truth is, of course, that religion and spirituality are very much the same thing, that religion defines the very nature of spirituality, even makes it possible." You make some great observations here, and I'd like you just to comment on that whole line of thinking, because I think that is so much the crux of the issue.
It really is the crux of the issue. You know, the idea that Oprah would say, hey, keep your religion, that's great, but let me teach you about spirituality, karma, and visualization, and all the things that she was trying to take them into, is really, in a sense, disingenuous. You know, it's part of what's happening in our generation, where people are attempting to merge religions, or are attempting to say, hey, all religions really head to the same place. So, you know, pick a little bit from one religion, a little bit from another, and create a religion of your own kind of thing. Well, all of this is only possible if, in a sense, you don't really believe the religion. If you don't take it seriously, if you don't really believe that it has doctrines or truths. In fact, when somebody tries to merge your religion with other religions, you know, it's really an insult. The fact is that each religion contains its own view of spirituality. Islam has its view of the invisible world and how you ought to behave and so on. Christianity contains its own view of spirituality. And so to say that you have a religion on the one hand, let's just say that you're, I'll just take an American denomination, let's just say you're a Baptist on the one hand, but hey, go ahead and be a Baptist, then I'm going to pull you over here. I'm going to teach you how to chant. I'm going to teach you about karma. I'm going to teach you about visualization. I'm going to teach you about your Christ consciousness. I'm going to teach you about, you know, things like your astrological signs and so on. Well, what I'm really doing is saying, look, put your religion in a box. Keep it in Sunday morning. Keep it in the, you know, whatever, the Sunday school quarterly or what have you. But come over here and join me in the temple of this other god. Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm reading through the prophets these days in Jeremiah today, and man, God is furious at the people of Israel because they do exactly what I'm describing right now. They say, hey, I'm Jehovah's fine, but I need a good harvest, so I'm going to worship Baal. And the Lord just blows up at them. So I think what's happening in our society is really a form of deception. It's a setup for serious deception. Most of it is rooted for many people in the idea that you can be a Christian, but then add a lot of other practices contrary to Christianity, some of which the Lord even calls an abomination, and somehow use that for your own empowerment. And I think that's a fast track to demonic attachment and troubling. I think it's a fast track to deception. And I think it deeply, deeply displeases the Lord.
I'm not sure how old you are, Stephen, but I got a feeling you remember when people say, hey, man, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And this is really what we're doing with spirituality in our day today. And there's that word spirituality. But in our Christianity, we're thinking we can somehow amalgamate other belief systems into Christianity. At least that's what's being sold by folks like Oprah, that we can do our own thing and that you know, we can let our hair down and just take parts of Christianity and kind of like on a salad bar. I really didn't want the peppers today, so I'll just have I'll have the mushrooms instead. You know, that's what we're really doing. This all speaks to the postmodern generation. The idea that truth is whatever you make it out to be instead of having something called absolute truth. That's really the case, isn't it, Stephen?
Well, yes, and in fact, we could even, for our current generation, replace the word truth with experience. Most people aren't looking for ultimate truth. They're not looking for a map of the universe as it is. They are looking for experience. And whatever will bring them experience, whatever will bring them that sense of empowering, they don't really care where it comes from.
That's it.
Of course, gets you in a great deal of trouble. I think the core issue here is that we are being encouraged in our culture to super glue a bunch of beliefs together that aren't really valid, that actually come from completely opposite perspectives. And that's the intellectual dishonesty of it. And I think that's the, you know, I don't believe that there's a demon behind every door now, but I do believe that we're told there are doctrines of demons and the demons work in mental and intellectual things. They are certainly at work in this idea.
This is Eric Barger back in the studio. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio and my recent interview with New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield. Visit ericbarger.com for more. Now here's the conclusion of our discussion on Where Has Oprah Taken Us? We want to play a clip here. This is from Oprah's TV show when she was on every afternoon, and it's Oprah arguing with a couple of audience members, and you're going to hear two different gals, and this first gal that you're going to hear in the background, you know, of course, you'll be able to tell Oprah's voice. Most of us know what her voice sounds like, but the first lady is really a diplomat. She's trying to make logical sense with Oprah about Jesus, and the second gal that you'll hear stands up and says that Jesus is the only way, and you'll hear Oprah then argue with the second gal that there are millions of ways that Jesus couldn't be the only way. So let's take a minute and listen to this clip. It's just about a minute long, but you'll notice at the end of the clip, by the way, the audience applauds because this gal, the second one, has stood up and told Oprah how it is. And I think we need to tell others how it is, too, that Jesus is indeed the only way. We need to emphatically tell them that his gospel is the only real gospel. So let's listen to the clip right now.
It talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human being.
How do you please God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
There is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
the millions
you
of people
say
in the world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
This lady says, because you say there isn't but just one way, doesn't mean it's so. And Oprah says, there couldn't possibly be just one way. But there is just one way. Jesus didn't say me and Buddha and Confucius are the way, the truth, and the life, did he, Stephen? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but I think that that clip kind of speaks for itself.
Well, I do want to comment on it, and one of the reasons I do is that since I've written this book, and, you know, my experience when I write a book is that I'm asked for, you know, a year in advance, what am I writing these days? People start giving their opinions right away. They're used to talking to authors. They're used to giving their opinions. And it's amazing how many people, when I tell them what I'm writing about, my particular perspective, you know, are just stunned that I would think that Oprah's anything but a Christian. And, I, you know, it's not like I fly around the world judging who's a Christian and who's not, but I can't think of a woman who's made it more obvious that she wants to borrow elements that are dear to her about Christianity, but that she's not a Christian. She's moved away from it. Now, I make a studied effort not to go around deciding who's going to heaven and who's not, because God can always be working in people's lives in ways I don't know about. But in terms of the gospel of Jesus, for Oprah to say, you know, that there's not just one way to God, that Jesus cannot be the only way, and that there are many ways to God, and that God might be light, or he might be energy, or he might be higher consciousness, or something else. Well, this clearly shows the influence of an Eastern perspective and a diminishing of the Christian perspective with which she was raised. And I just want to say that the thing speaks for itself. I'm not being defensive. It's just funny to me that sometimes things can be on the Internet, or I can be watching somebody I'm writing a book about, you know, get on television and say this, 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 and this, and then somebody gets in my face as though I made that up. But here you're using a clip that's right from one of her programs, and it's very obvious that she's distancing herself from the Christian gospel. So we need to keep that in mind, not because we want to hate her, but because we want to pray for her. We also want to be cautious about her, and we want to realize that she, you know, she's running an entire cable network that will be filled with this kind of thinking.
Yeah, and that's, we haven't mentioned that, but she has her own cable network now. This she's gone from 1 hour during the afternoon, syndicated nationally and internationally, to now being 24/7 with this kind of thing. So who knows how many New Age teachers and leaders, by the time it's all said and done, will have their own programs and develop their own followings, because Oprah will then give them even more of a platform than she has in the past to be able to spread the different philosophies of the New Age movement. And, you know, that leads us to the next clip I want to play, which, of course, was with Eckhart Tolle. And, you know, and here we go again, a follower of the Course in Miracles. He's a follower also of a mystical form of Islam called Sufism. He believes in Zen Buddhism. He's a follower of Barry Long, who's a Hindu mystic from Australia. He's followed many of the masters from India. And this is a guy that Oprah has really connected with. In March of 2008, they began a 10-week series every Monday night, an hour, hour and a half long each Monday night. And it was done with Skype, so they had lots of questions that were Skyped in through the Internet. That's a video service where people can have two-way conversation. And Oprah, of course, got all this on video. And she spotlighted Eckhart Tolle, went all the way through his book, estimated 2.5 million people each Monday night were were listening into Oprah. And the very first night, the very first caller actually through Skype asked Oprah a question that I thought really should be spotlighted. They were talking about Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, but Oprah was asked the question about her own spirituality and how she had been able to amalgamate her spirituality, supposedly Christianity, with Eckhart Tolle's spirituality. And she gives the answers to why she has abandoned Christianity. And folks, I want you to listen carefully. This will make you pray for Oprah Winfrey. And just listen to this quote in this or this clip. This will really tell you where Oprah's come from. It's a sad story, but it needs to be told. Here it is.
In reading books such as Tolle's, it's really opened my eyes up to a new way of thinking, a new form of spirituality that doesn't always align with the teachings of Christianity. So my question is to you, Oprah, how have you reconciled these spiritual teachings with your Christian beliefs?
I've reconciled it because I was able to open my mind about the absolute, indescribable hugeness of that which we call God. I took God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and there were, you know, rules and belief systems and doctrine. And I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s, and I was going to this church where you had to get there at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, or you couldn't get a seat, and a very charismatic minister, and everybody was just, you know, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And I was, you know, caught up in the rapture of that moment until he said jealous. And something struck me. And I was like, I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all. God is omnipresent. God is all. And God's also jealous. God is jealous of me. And something about that didn't feel right in my spirit, because I believe that God is love and that God is in all things. And so that's when the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. And I love this quote that Eckhart has, one of my favorite quotes in chapter one, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God."
And what Oprah has done is she has rejected the Bible and she's exchanged the God of the Bible for New Age spirituality and paganism. It really ends up pointing back at each human being and says that they are God. And by the way, folks, if you don't think that there's been some effect by this, as of 2009, so we're talking a couple of years ago now, Eckhart Tolle has sold with his book A New Earth, 5 million copies of the book here in the United States alone. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you'll invest in a copy of Stephen Mansfield's book, Where Has Oprah Taken Us? And I hope that what we've illustrated here will cause you to pray without ceasing for Oprah. Don't ever give up on that. Also, let me remind you, you can now order the entire series exposing and explaining the New Age movement that we presented right here on Take a Stand Radio, all on CD, all 9 programs available in a nicely packaged album for just $35 plus $5 shipping here in the United States. That's 4.5 hours of teaching that you can share with your friends and family, including the insightful interview we brought today with my friend, author Stephen Mansfield. Remember, your orders help support our ministry outreaches, both here on the radio, on the internet around the world, and as I travel coast to coast presenting Take a Stand seminars in conferences and local churches. If you prefer, you can slip a check in the mail for a total of $40, and when you do, please clearly mark your request for the Take a Stand radio series on the New Age movement, and we'll get it right out to you. Well, Take a Stand Radio is brought to you by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and is funded by the gifts of our friends and supporters. How greatly we appreciate their support. Next week, we'll conclude our series on the New Age movement with a fascinating look at the New Age and Bible prophecy. In the meantime, keep taking your stand on the Word of God, and I'll talk to you then.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hello, friends. This is Eric Barger. If you believe that bold, cutting-edge programs are important, then I encourage you to help us with Take a Stand Radio. Besides the many ongoing expenses of ministry, the purchase of radio time is a real step of faith for us, and I'm counting on our CSN listeners to help with the cost of presenting this outreach each week. A great way to support Take a Stand is by ordering the materials offered on the broadcast, such as my DVD teaching, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception that we featured today. This video will help warn and educate your family and church, and would serve as a great resource to share with anyone who's embraced New Age philosophies. The complete message is also available on audio CD as well. To order your copy or to contribute to Take a Stand, simply visit ericbarger.com or call 214-289-5244. Thanks for letting us hear from you today.